Welcome to Hockey Whiz Talks podcast. In this podcast, I talk about my observations about the quarterfinals in the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. In this podcast, I give a quick update on each of the matchups in the 2024 NHL quarterfinal playoff matchups and talk about my observations that I have had about the games in those series. The New York Rangers lead their best of seven series against the Washington Capitals 2-0. The Rangers cruised out to a 4-1 victory. The Rangers cruised to a 4-1 victory in Game 1 as they thoroughly dominated the Washington Capitals right from the start of the game until the end of the game, outshooting them 31-21 and outhit the Capitals 33-21. Washington had a better effort in Game 2, but it wasn't enough. Thanks to multi-point games from Vincent Trocheck and Mika Zibanejad, the Rangers hung on to win the game 4-3. This shifts the series back to Washington with the Rangers up 2-0. The New York Rangers were heavy favorites entering the series, and rightly so. The Capitals aren't a great team to begin with, while the Rangers were the best team in the Eastern Conference. The Rangers have had solid production from everyone throughout the lineup, but especially from their core players, who have come out to play. Igor Shesterkin has made saves when it matters. The Rangers are averaging 4 goals per game in this series, while only allowing an average of 2 goals against. The Rangers have outshot Washington 30-23, and when given power play chances, are operating at a 25% rate, which is good for 7th in the playoffs. For the Washington Capitals, they had to rely heavily on Charlie Lindgren stealing games to even get into the playoffs. And when he doesn't do that, they don't really have a shot to win the games, because they were one of the lowest scoring teams in the entire league. Alex Ovechkin has been called out by his head coach for his lackluster play and effort, as he only registered one shot on goal for the first two games against the Rangers. We'll have to see how he responds in games 3 and 4. If Washington wants to make this a competitive series, they need to generate more scoring chances and force the Rangers to take penalties, as the Rangers' PK has struggled a bit. If Washington can't turn the series around, playing in Washington, this series could be a sweep. The Florida Panthers lead their best of seven series against the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-0. Carter Verhaeghe broke a tie with a power play goal early in the third period to help the Florida Panthers win Game 1 3-2, which put them up in the series 1-0. In Game 2, Carter Verhaeghe again played hero as he scored the game-winning overtime goal to help the Panthers win the game 3-2 and put the Florida Panthers up 2-0 against Tampa Bay, going back to Tampa Bay for Game 3. The Tampa Bay Lightning completely fell apart in Game 3 after getting out to a 2-1 lead, and then proceeded to lose a pivotal Game 3 5-3. The Florida Panthers have flat out been the better team in the series. There's no better way to put it. I would have thought, with this series being an in-state rivalry and the bad blood between the two teams, that Tampa Bay would have brought forth a better effort, but they just haven't shown up in this series. Florida has outscored Tampa Bay 11-7, outshot them 32-24, and have had the better power play in the series, operating at 28.6%, 6th best in the NHL. Carter Verhaeghe and Matthew Tkachuk have been the best players for Florida, leaving their imprints on the series for Florida, as both of them have 5 points apiece. Florida has done an excellent job of shutting down Nikita Kucherov in this series, limiting him to just 3 points in the series. Sergei Bobrovsky is having a monster series and has outplayed Andrei Vasilevsky in net. Tampa Bay looks expired and uninspired and just not hungry to try and win this series, while Florida, on the other hand, seems hungry to win this series and to finally beat Tampa Bay in a playoff series. And now a word from our sponsor. Check out my scouting blog at HockeyWiz777Scouting.com. Listen to my scouting blog podcast on podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/HockeyWiz777Scouting. The Carolina Hurricanes lead the New York Islanders in their best of seven series 3-0. Game 1 between the Hurricanes and Islanders was a tight checking affair, as Game 1 was tied 1-1 heading into the third period, but thanks to a clutch third period goal by Stefan Nason and an empty net goal, the Hurricanes took Game 1 3-1. The New York Islanders seemed in complete control of Game 2 as they carried a 3-1 lead heading into the third period, but then Carolina scored 4 four unanswered goals in the third period, including two goals by Sebastian Aho and Jordan Martinook, just 9 seconds apart. The Carolina Hurricanes pushed the New York Islanders to the brink of elimination with a 3-2 win in Game 3, thanks to a 2-assist game from Andrei Svechnikov, and Sebastian Aho netted the game-winning goal. To nobody's surprise, the Carolina Hurricanes have pushed the New York Islanders to the brink of elimination after getting out to a 3-0 lead in the series. But it's not like the New York Islanders didn't have their chance to win any games in the series. The Islanders could have easily won Game 2 if they did not sit back and just simply rely on their defense and goaltending to win that game. And even in Game 1, it was a very close game, and the Islanders had every chance in the world to win that game. Carolina has outscored the Islanders 11-6 while outshooting them 29-25. If there is an area that could be improved on for Carolina, it is their power play, as the Canes' power play has been average, operating at just 20% in the postseason. For the New York Islanders, the Carolina Hurricanes were probably the worst matchup of any team in the Eastern Conference because of how well they can defend and transition turnovers into goals. The Islanders are once again struggling to score goals and generate scoring chances because they just don't have enough offensive talent in the lineup. Perhaps the Islanders' issue is just that they aren't built to win in the playoffs in the modern NHL, as they are just too slow and old, with the exception of Matt Barzal, Bo Horvat, and Noah Dobson. The Boston Bruins lead their best-of-seven series against the Toronto Maple Leafs 2-1. Boston demolished Toronto in Game 1 at TD Gardens 5-1, thanks to a 3-point game from Jake DeBrusk. Jeremy Swayman was terrific in net, only allowing one goal on 36 shots. Toronto responded in Game 2, as Austin Matthews had the go-ahead goal in the third period and also had two assists to propel the Leafs past the Bruins to tie the series at 1. Game 3 of the series was the Brad Marchand show, as he dominated every aspect of the game and finished the game having two goals and an assist, including the game-winning goal. The Boston Bruins have done an excellent job, for the most part, of shutting down Toronto's high-powered offense and taking away the neutral zone and forcing Toronto into making bad decisions with the puck. Brad Marchand and Tyler Bertuzzi have been engaged in extracurricular activities since the beginning of the series, and that should continue to escalate as the series progresses. A major reason why Boston has a 2-1 lead in the series is because of the play of Jeremy Swayman, who has been excellent in the two games he has played. The one game that Boston lost was when Linus Ullmark was in goal. Boston's power play is getting hot at the right time and is operating at a 50% rate, which is simply outstanding. Toronto's PK has to improve if they are to win this series. The Boston Bruins seem to always own the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs when it matters. They just know what it takes to win the game. Check out my hockey blog at hockeywiztalkshockey.blogspot.com. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at hockeywiz777. The Vegas Golden Knights are leading their best-of-seven series against the Dallas Stars 2-0. Mark Stone scored in his first game back from a lacerated spleen and helped the Vegas Golden Knights to defeat the Dallas Stars 4-3 and put Vegas up in the series 1-0. Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault each had a goal and an assist for Vegas in Game 2 to help extend their lead in the series 2-0 as the series shifts back to Vegas for Game 3. To no one's surprise, the Vegas Golden Knights are not your traditional second wildcard team, as they seem to be playing like they are the number one seed in the Western Conference. Mark Stone missed a large chunk of the regular season and is miraculously healed just in time for the first playoff game, and has immediately contributed in the playoffs. While the trade deadline acquisitions of Thomas Hertl and Noah Hanifin have already paid dividends in the playoffs. But don't get mad at Vegas for abusing the loophole that Chicago and Tampa Bay won with and didn't get punished for. It is easy to say that Vegas was playing unfairly by exploiting a long-term IR loophole. But how about talking about the fact that Dallas was the number one seed in the Western Conference and haven't played like it? The difference in this series for me is coaching, as Pete DeBoer is notorious for not making adjustments in game. And that is going to be the reason why, despite being a top seed, another Pete DeBoer coached team might make an early playoff exit. The best of seven series between the Vancouver Canucks and Nashville Predators is tied at one. Pia Suter and Dakota Joshua scored just 12 seconds apart in the third period to help the Vancouver Canucks rally in the third period for a 4-2 win over the Nashville Predators in Game 1. Philip Forsberg and Anthony Beauvillier each had a goal and an assist to help the Nashville Predators even up the series at 1 against the Vancouver Canucks to send the series back to Nashville for Game 3. With the news that Thatcher Demko will be out for the rest of the first round and perhaps the rest of the playoffs, that leaves this series completely up for grabs and changes the complexion of the series. Without Demko, Vancouver will have to rely on Casey DeSmith to be the starting goalie, and although he can be good for a game or two, he isn't Thatcher Demko. The thing about this series is that Vancouver could easily be down 2-0 in the series. If Nashville didn't take their foot off the gas pedal in the third period of Game 1, which allowed Vancouver to storm back to win the game 4-2, the troubling thing for the Vancouver Canucks is the play of their star forwards such as Elias Pettersson and JT Miller, and to an extent, Elias Lindholm. They just haven't shown up in the playoffs so far. The Nashville Predators have the advantage in this series moving forward, as even though they are a young team, they have some players in the lineup with some playoff experience and have the clearly better goalie in UC Saros. Listen to Hockey Wiz Talks podcast on Podbean and Spotify. The best of seven series between the Winnipeg Jets and Colorado Avalanche is tied at one. Game one of the series between Colorado and Winnipeg was insane, as Adam Lowry and Kyle Connor both had two goals for the Jets, while Connor Hellebuck made 40 saves to propel them to a 7-6 victory over Colorado. The Avalanche tied the series at one as they scored four goals in the second period thanks to one goal and one assist from Artturi Lehkonen. The difference in this series for me is Connor Hellebuck, because Colorado has outshot Winnipeg in both games and have, for the most part, outplayed Winnipeg in the series. Unfortunately, Hellebuck has stood tall while Alexander Georgiev has given up some soft goals. Heading into the series, I said in order for Winnipeg to win this series, they have to stay out of the box because Colorado has a lethal power play, while Winnipeg's PK isn't great. In the playoffs, Colorado has the fourth best power play, operating at 40%, while the Winnipeg Jets are no slouch either, operating at 20%, which is ninth in the league. Moving forward, the challenge for Winnipeg is going to be matching up against Colorado's intensity and speed when they inevitably take their game up another notch. Cale Makar once again has been Colorado's best player in the playoffs, but Artturi Lehkonen, who is one of the Avalanche players that has playoff experience from his time with Montreal, has also been very good. For Winnipeg, the frustrating thing is how inconsistent their offense can be. They definitely have the potential to score like Colorado does, as they are no slouch when it comes to top-end scoring talent and depth scoring, but their scoring can be hit or miss, and that could cost them in this series. The best of seven series between the Edmonton Oilers and LA Kings is tied at one. The Edmonton Oilers dominated the LA Kings in Game 1, as Zach Hyman recorded a hat-trick, Connor McDavid had 5 assists, while Evan Bouchard had 4 points to help guide the Oilers to a 7-4 victory over the LA Kings. Anze Kopitar scored just 2 minutes into the overtime to give the LA Kings a 5-4 victory over the Edmonton Oilers in Game 2, which sent the series back to LA tied at 1. What stood out to me when watching this series, besides Connor McDavid is just built different, is that Edmonton's depth scoring is very noticeable, and you could definitely see that in Game 2. The Evander Kane, Ryan McLeod, and Corey Perry line was arguably their most effective line 5-on-5 in terms of generating chances in the offensive zone and sustaining puck possession deep in the O zone. I thought Dylan Holloway had been very noticeable so far in the playoffs. If the Oilers want to win in this series, he has to continue to chip in offensively. From LA's perspective, they don't seem very comfortable defending against the speed that Edmonton has as a team. Not only does Edmonton have fast individual players, they are a fast up-tempo team, and some of their older players like Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty might have lost a step on the defensive side of the puck. Cam Talbot was very good for LA in Game 2, and he definitely outplayed Skinner, but the big question about Talbot is his inconsistency from game to game. You just don't know which Talbot will show up. LA Kings players touched on this after the Game 1 loss, but they were not able to do this. LA needs to stay out of the penalty box because Edmonton's power play is lethal. They are operating at a 57.1% rate on the man advantage. On the flip side, LA's power play has not been very good in this series and have yet to score on the man advantage. Special teams could be the deciding factor in this series. Check out my travel channel at youtube.com/@hockeywhiztravels. With many series far from over, it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of the series play out. In my next podcast, I'm going to be previewing the second round of the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs.